Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade deficit fell in October, helped by a jump in overseas oil sales that lifted American exports to an all-time high. The trade gap narrowed to $40.6 billion in October. That's 5.4% lower than September's gap of $43 billion. Exports rose 1.8%. to a record $192.7 billion, helped by a 9.3% gain in petroleum exports. Imports rose 0.4% to $233.3 billion, the highest since March of 2012. Oil imports rose 1.5%. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sale of 165,750 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico. Of that total, 132,600 tons is for delivery during the 13-14 marketing year, and the remaining 33,150 tons is for delivery during the 14-15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,869. It's down 44 points. The NASDAQ, 4,027, is down almost 10. And the S&P 500 is 1,788, and it is down about 7 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Stormy weather will be impacting many areas across the Midwest as we go forward through the next few days. A strong temperature contrast will be driving the mechanism here that's going to create widespread precipitation, especially snow of significance in the northwestern portions of the Midwest, while we'll likely see an abundance of rain occur across the southeastern portions of the region. Most of the weather is going to be driven by this temperature contrast, which is going to actually drop temperatures down below zero for highs and lows in the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt as we move through the rest of this week and into the weekend, while in the southeastern corner of the country, the temperatures are going to be notably warm, with afternoon temperatures getting up into the 60s and perhaps some 70s for a brief period of time. That kind of temperature contrast almost always creates an environment that supports precipitation, and that's exactly what we're going to be seeing over these next few days. Moisture is going to be most significant today into tomorrow in the northwestern Corn Belt, where heavy snow is likely to fall from the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota into parts of Wisconsin. The storm system will also generate a significant amount of wind across the region as well, and that's likely to result in some blowing and drifting of the snowfall and obviously some hazardous travel conditions. Livestock stress will be high in the northern plains as well because of the wind and the wind chills that will likely occur along with the snow across that region. A little bit to the southeast of this first low pressure system, we'll see some showers and a few thunderstorms occur, but for the most part, the region in the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest will not be impacted much by more than just some scattered light shower activity. But they are not out of the woods. A storm system will likely develop behind this first event in the southern plains, and that will likely take place as we go from Thursday into Friday. That low pressure system will stream rain and thunderstorm activity from Texas into parts of the lower Midwest. Most of the precipitation will fall as rain, but there may be a narrow band of snow or freezing rain and sleet that may occur just on the northern fringes of the precipitation region from central Missouri into portions of northern Ohio. This particular region of precipitation will fester for an extra couple of days, still occurring Friday and Saturday across parts of the lower and eastern Midwest. As we go on into the weekend, a temporary break in the precipitation may occur on Saturday, but by Saturday night into Sunday, a new system will likely form in the very same region and will likely see additional precipitation falling in the Ohio River Basin. Again, a wintry mix is possible at that time. These multiple surges of precipitation across the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest as well as the Delta will likely raise the potential for flooding as we move deeper into the winter season, and a close watch on the situation will be warranted eventually. The temperatures will be turning cooler in the eastern part of the U.S., but they will never get as cold as what we're expecting in the northern and central plains over these next few days. Temperature extremes will likely drop below zero all the way down into Kansas and Colorado. We'll see single-digit and teen readings down into portions of Oklahoma and northern Texas. In the western Midwest, the sub-zero temperatures will likely impact many areas in Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, parts of northern Missouri perhaps, and northwestern Illinois. Extreme lows in the northern plains may drop down into the negative 30s. We'll expect the southeastern part of the Midwest to be nowhere near as cold. The low temperatures there may not be much colder than the 30s and 40s. But it does look as though the afternoon temperatures will be held in check because of all the precipitation as well in the lower Midwest, but not nearly as cold, obviously, as the northwestern Corn Belt. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red December wheat is not trading on the board at the moment, but the March is at 708.5. Now 708.25, down 3.25. Soft December wheat is 650, down 3.75. March 664.25, down 4. December corn is 424, and it is up 2. March corn is 433.75, up 2.5. July 448.75, up 2. January soybeans 1325.5, up now a quarter, up 5.5. July at 1284.5, up 4.75, now up 5.5. December soybean meal 448, up 190. December soybean oil 39.96, up 6 cents. December live cattle 132.70, up 17.5. January feeder cattle 165.07.5, up 22.5. And December lean hogs are 84.70, and they are down 12.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Of all the commodities, we have soft wheat down. Is that a reflection of what came out of Stats Canada today?
Most assuredly. I think realistically, most of the numbers that came out of Stats Canada this morning were surprises and bearish surprises for the most part. But I think realistically, as we've talked about in the past couple of weeks, the wheat market out of the U.S. is competitively priced with the world market, so the downside is probably not overly significant, but I will say the numbers right across the bow of the market say, baby, pause and catch your breath.
How do you read how the soybean market's been trading thus far this week?
You know, I'm very impressed with the soybean market this way it's acting this morning. I think we're still taking our cue from the meal market, which, you know, the basis in the meal has been fairly strong out west. So I think realistically that's where the bean market is going to take its cue. I am a little bit nervous technically speaking because we have backed away from the highs a couple of times. And I did see a news story that talks about South America maybe reducing the export taxes on some beans. If that were to come to pass, that would probably liquefy the bean market a little bit, put some more beans on the world market, and introduce a little extra competition for us. Realistically, they still have some inventory to sell, so I'd be mindful of headlines of that nature.
Are higher bean prices than that we saw last week still possible, which would be in the January anyway, it would be at 1346, provided we don't fall with consecutive settlements under 1315?
You know, I think realistically, I like that 13-15 mark. You know, I really do not think the market's got a lot of upside potential above last week's highs unless South American weather starts to become a little bit dicey. I think China's logistical considerations are probably going to become a little bit of a concern as the year ends. I think they've got a lot of stuff on the way over there. There's no real reason for them to pursue more. So I think we're probably range-bound with a little bit of a negative bias from here for the next 6 or 8 weeks.
And what about the low that we put in corn recently? And on the March chart, that would have been right around 418. Is that a good number for a while?
You know, I think that it is. One of the things that hasn't been getting much press is the index fund rebalancing after the first of the year. Corn is appreciably lower value than it was a year ago this time. So the index funds are probably going to be coming in with a much bigger buying appetite for the corn market. Considering that 415 or 418 neighborhood has held the market up a couple, three times, I think realistically that is a good value point. The only thing I've got to be a little bit of a concern is how much cash movement do we see after the first of the year and how much of a burden is that to the cash market.
Thank you much there, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace, December corn at 423 and three quarters, up 1 3/4. July, 448 and three quarters, up 2. January soybeans, 1327 and three quarters, up 8. July, 1286, up 6 1/4. December soybean meal is 449, up 290. And December soybean oil is 39.91, up a penny. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.